Section 1, Chapter 3. The False Hypotheses. A simple moral exhortation? No, a true prophecy. The least serious hypothesis, still proposed to us from time to time, consists in claiming, as Father Caprell did in June 1960, that the third secret might only contain an exhortation to prayer and penance. But in this case, as we have said, why would the Holy Virgin have ordered the children to keep secret, right up until 1944 or 1960? A message already public since 1917. Besides, this hypothesis of a moralizing secret renders absolutely inexplicable the fact that, since 1960, the popes have still not dared to reveal it. These are two decisive reasons for setting aside the arguments of those who insist on this inconsistent hypothesis. In effect, we know that the final secret, far from being a simple moral exhortation or even a grave warning, is like the second secret, prophetic in nature. The testimony of Cardinals Ottaviani and Ratzinger coincides on this point with several statements of Sister Lucy, and with John XXIII RD's reflection after reading the secret, "This does not concern the years of my pontificate." Besides, the first sentence of the secret, in Portugal, "The dogma of the faith will always be preserved," is already in the future, and places us straightway in the prophetic genre. A very obscure prophecy? If we were to believe Cardinal Ottaviani, the secret would be in an obscure style, difficult to penetrate, a veritable Sibylline text. This, of course, would justify its non-disclosure. The message was not to be opened before 1960. I asked Lucy, "Why this date?" And she answered me, "Because then it will seem mais claro, clearer." This made me think that the message was prophetic in tone, because it is precisely the prophecies, as we see in Holy Scripture, which are covered with a veil of mystery. They are not generally expressed in language which is manifest, clear, understandable to everybody. The exegetes today are still interpreting the prophecies of the Old Testament. And what are we to say, for example, of the prophecies contained in the Apocalypse? In 1960, Lucy told me, "The message will seem clearer." Then the Cardinal added, in the same sense, "It is clear, however, as we see in so many prophecies, because I imagine that the message of Fatima has a tone of prophecy, since Lucy said that in 1960 it would seem clearer, that there is here a sign which is as though veiled. It is not a language which is altogether manifest and clear." Clearly trying to mislead his audience, the Cardinal mixes the truth with erroneous insinuations at will. That the secret is prophetic is precious information, corroborated, as we have seen, by all other authoritative witnesses. That it makes us think, or perhaps even refers us to such or such a prophecy of the Apocalypse is equally very possible, for we have other evidence of this. But does this mean the prophecy is so impenetrable that it cannot be divulged, because it would be incomprehensible to the public as the Cardinal seems to suggest? Certainly not. Did not Sister Lucy herself say in 1955 that in 1960 the secret would seem clearer? Thus it is comprehensible to everybody, at least after this date. Besides, it is an abuse to attribute the same obscurity to all prophecies. Although some of the prophecies, especially those with an eschatological character, really are difficult to interpret, others, predicting near and precise events, are crystal clear in their limpidity, such as Jesus predicting his death and resurrection, or the ruin of Jerusalem. The same goes for Saint John, predicting in the Apocalypse the fall of the Roman Empire, which persecuted the Church. Moreover, we know the prophetic style of the secret by the second part, and we have every reason to think that the third is in the same vein, the same style as the part immediately preceding it and the conclusion which follows. Now in all this there is nothing obscure, nothing ambiguous, nothing but facts, names, dates, all with perfect clarity. This is what constitutes the extraordinary, absolutely unique character of the prophecy of Fatima. The only phrase already known, which surely is part of this final secret, in Portugal, "The dogma of the faith will always be preserved," gives us the tone, which harmonizes perfectly with the context. In short, as Father Alonso emphasizes, we can be sure that the secret of Fatima has a logical content that is very clear and definite. In the known parts of the secret and in what is being fulfilled of the part as yet unknown, the secret of Fatima is not a mysterious, extravagant, or nebulous text. Still less is it sibylline. It has nothing at all to do with the Delphic oracles with their double and enigmatic meanings. Fatima is as simple as the rural environment in which the happenings took place. It also finds support in the real events which have disturbed our times. In effect, the prophecies of Fatima have been fulfilled in an obvious manner for everybody: the night illumined by an unknown light, the Second World War, then the expansion of Russian communism spreading its errors throughout the world, and causing wars and persecutions everywhere. We can be certain that the third part of the secret predicts events at least as precise, as important, and as verifiable. A prophecy of good things or bad. In 1959, Father Meshes Dias Coelho believed that the secret perhaps announced the striking triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, writing, "This triumph has already been predicted. It is certain. Why wouldn't the third part of the secret shed light on it, give it new colors, give it concrete form by new details of a nature to further embellish the royal diadem of Our Lady of Fatima?" This completely optimistic hypothesis, coinciding with the euphoric prophecies of John XXIII announcing that Vatican Council II would be a new springtime for the Church, a new Pentecost, can no longer be sustained today. As Cardinal Sir Girard told Father Caelan, "If it were happy, we would have been told. Since we are told nothing, it is because it is sad." This is a simple, common-sense reflection, but it is very enlightening on the contents of the secret. The Patriarch of Lisbon declared again, "I do not know the secret. One time Pope John XXIII spoke to me about it vaguely, in a distant fashion, and I understood that it concerned very grave matters. There is no doubt about it, the third secret is not a prophecy of good things. Could it be the prediction of the end of the world?" This has been said at times, and above all some have wanted to create this impression to lessen consideration for the secret. It is clearly false, since the secret ends with a conclusion full of hope for the future of the Church and Christendom: "In the end my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, and she will be converted, and a certain period of peace will be granted to the world." When Sister Lucy declares to Father Fuentes that the Blessed Virgin made me understand that we are living in the last times of the world, she is not talking about the end of the world properly speaking, which is identified with the return of Christ in glory for the last judgment. This indicates only that we are entering the last great period of the world's history, without being able to judge how long it will last. When William Thomas Walsh asked her on July 15, 1946, "Has Our Lady given you any revelations on the end of the world?" Sister Lucy, avoiding the trap with supreme wisdom, responded in a decisive tone, "I cannot answer that question." A reply worthy of Joan of Arc. For to say yes would have given the impression that the end of the world was imminent. To say no would have given the impression that it was still very far off. It would have been untruthful if, as it probably does, the third secret really does allude to the last times spoken of by Holy Scripture. Sister Lucy answered well, "Fatima has not come to contradict the gospel by taking away our uncertainty on the end of the world, which is willed by God for our own good. Be ready, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. Be watchful, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." A third world war? Atomic war? This time we are not in an illusory hypothesis. For now prediction and foresight are identified. Here, the horrible prophecy coincides with the most lucid political analysis, which is also utterly frightening. Would not Our Lady have predicted this future war, which threatens us so tragically? In 1917, she asked that the Rosary be recited every day to obtain peace, and she announced to the shepherds, "The war is going to end." A few months later, the war indeed ended for Portugal. But on July 13, in the second part of The Secret, she had predicted a new world war if men obstinately refuse to obey her requests, if people do not cease offending God, another worse war will begin in the reign of Pius XI. Since her requests were not accomplished, this terrible war took place. Did not the third part of The Secret, quite simply, predict a third world war if the world still refused to be converted? As we have seen, this is what is stated in the version of the third secret spread by Nuit Europa: a great punishment shall come to all mankind, not today as yet, nor even tomorrow, but in the second half of the 20th century. The greatest world war will happen in the second half of the 20th century. And this war will be even worse than the one before, for this time it will be an atomic war. Would not Our Lady have predicted this chastisement, the most atrocious punishment ever? The Secret of Nuit Europa says so in striking terms: fire and smoke will fall from the sky, and the waters of the oceans will be turned to steam. Millions and millions of men will lose their lives from one moment to the next, and those who remain living will envy those who are dead. Is not this hypothesis conceivable? Does it not have the advantage of squaring perfectly with the context of the message, since it only prolongs for a more distant future the prophecy of the second secret? The material chastisements are already predicted in the second part of The Secret. This is precisely where Father Alonso rejects the argument with an utterly convincing force and clarity. Strong in the knowledge of numerous unpublished documents, and a profound study of all the texts, he says, resolutely, no, the final secret does not contain the prediction of new material cataclysms, nor that of a new atomic world war, the description of which would chill us with fright. Why? For a very simple reason, but also a very solid and obvious reason once it is shown to us: precisely because the prediction of these chastisements is spelled out in the second part of The Secret. And it is not in the style of Our Lady's message to give us wordy descriptions. In a few words, with astonishing conciseness everything is said, and we really cannot see what could be added. The prediction of the Third World War? As we have already seen, the 10 lines of the second secret give us a much more profound, much more exact view of our history. It is the same war, the same cycle of chastisements continuing inexorably since 1938. The mysterious red glow, giving a purple shade to the night sky of January 25, 1938, announced this great war, which has never ceased since then, and of which the German aggression was only the first phase. The war announced by the Secret of Fatima is the war which Soviet Russia unleashes against the world, spreading its errors everywhere, causing revolutions, enslaving nations, persecuting Christians relentlessly. It is the Bolshevik War, which tends to impose the world hegemony of communism. Politically, it is still the second secret being fulfilled. And its most fearsome prophecies perhaps concern our future. Have we yet considered the force of these simple words: the good will be martyred? Do they not predict a systematic, constant, universal, and implacable persecution? The prophecy has been fulfilled atrociously, and gloriously for the Church, since 1917, everywhere communism has been installed. But what will it be if the persecuting power, tomorrow, manages to dominate the entire world? The maneuvers of appeasement and the measures of relative tolerance intended to reassure the West, so as to better lull it to sleep, seduce it, and enslave it, will then be useless. Indeed, the most terrible persecutions are perhaps still in the future, as well as the insistent prediction according to which the Holy Father will have much to suffer, which, following Father Alonso, we think has yet to be fulfilled. Have we weighed these terrible words: various nations will be annihilated? Many commentators reassure us, interpreting these words in their weakest sense, it is only a question of nations erased from the map, because they have been absorbed politically by others. But was Sister Lucy bringing up simple annexations when she declared to Father Fuentes, "Tell them, Father, that many times, the Most Holy Virgin told my cousins Francisco and Jacinta, as well as myself, that many nations will disappear from the face of the earth. She said that Russia will be the instrument of chastisement chosen by heaven to punish the whole world if we do not obtain beforehand the conversion of that poor nation. This is why we have to fear that the word annihilated might be taken in its literal, and most obvious sense, annihilated, destroyed from top to bottom. Incredible in 1917, this tragic eventuality is no longer inconceivable at all for us today, in the atomic age. The third secret speaks of something else. So it is clear, all the material chastisements which still threaten us, even the most frightful ones, are already predicted by Our Lady in her second secret, and we also know the supernatural means of warding them off, before it is too late. But all these things, Father Alonso assures us, the third secret does not speak of, it no longer mentions them. There is, he explains, a very simple and convincing reason. We should remember in interpreting Lucy's writings that she never repeats herself in the same text, especially when she is dealing with related things. If therefore the first part of the secret speaks of the vision of hell and the intercessory function of Our Lady to save sinners who would otherwise go there, and if the second part deals with the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, emphasizing particularly the disastrous effects failure to do so will bring to the world and the Church in their external, political, and material aspects, then we can be certain that none of this will again be included in the third part. In effect, since the secret is composed of three parts, coherent but distinct, whose dates indicated by heaven for their disclosure were not the same, we can be sure that the third part of the secret will not repeat the same thing as the second, at an interval of just a few lines. So, Father Alonso continues, it is no longer a question of material chastisements, which already are all evoked in the secret which is known, famines, wars, persecutions. No, it must concern something else. Let us add that these important words of Lucy, in 1960, it will seem clearer, could not be understood if the final secret predicted the Third World War or atomic war. In 1945, after Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the horrors of nuclear war were only too imaginable. Nor would the obstinate silence of John XXIII, Paul VI and John Paul II be any more understandable. Would not this terrible prophecy have been a weighty argument in their support for pacifist propaganda against atomic weapons? A chastisement of the spiritual order. Then if the final secret of Our Lady no longer is announcing temporal chastisements, it has to prophesy events of another order, undoubtedly a spiritual chastisement, far worse, more frightful than famine, wars, and persecutions, much more to be feared than atomic war itself, for it concerns souls, their salvation, or their eternal loss. Now we understand the words of Sister Lucy to Father Fuentes in 1957, when she was completely absorbed by the thought of the secret which was supposed to be divulged in 1960. Father, that is why my mission is not to indicate to the world the material punishments which are certain to come if the world does not pray and do penance beforehand. No. My mission is to indicate to everyone the imminent danger we are in of losing our souls for all eternity if we remain obstinate in sin. When she declared, during the same interview, "Believe me, Father, God will chastise the world and this will be in a terrible manner. The punishment from heaven is imminent," she was thinking of this spiritual chastisement. Moreover, perhaps she had even spoken about it beforehand to her bishop, Bishop da Silva. For when we consider the absolute discretion he ordinarily imposed on himself concerning the secret, one of his statements, reported by Monsignor Colgan, cannot fail to grasp our attention. John Hafford, international delegate of the Blue Army, was an intimate friend of the first bishop of Fatima, and one day the old bishop, voluntarily steering the conversation to the subject of the secret, told him, "It is possible that it deals with world events." This was the most widespread interpretation, but also that it deals with entirely spiritual subjects. In passing, let us point out that this intuition of the dramatic contents of the third secret, and the spiritual nature of the chastisements announced, seems to us to explain perfectly Bishop da Silva's disconcerting attitude. Literally frightened, and afraid to learn more, he did not want to interfere in such a grave matter. Yet, what a shame that he did not have the strength to assume his responsibilities as the first recipient of the secret. For after him, for close to 30 years, the successive popes, and out of obedience, the bishops of Fatima, Bishop Venancio, and since 1972 Bishop Du Amaral, have never consented to say a single word allowing the faithful to grasp, with certainty, what a grave question is dealt with in Our Lady of Fatima's final secret. Finally, the truth triumphs. The Bishop of Fatima indicates the essential contents of the third secret. On September 10, 1984, Bishop Alberto Cosma Du Amaral, the present Bishop of Liria Fatima, finally coming out of his reserve, made a declaration of capital importance. It eliminates for good the principal false hypotheses concerning the contents of the third secret. Here, in effect, is what appears in Mensajum de Fatima of February 1985 under the title, The Secret of Fatima Does Not Announce the End of the World. The Secret of Fatima speaks neither of atomic bombs, nor nuclear warheads, nor Pershing missiles nor SS-20s, declared Don Alberto Cosma Du Amaral, Bishop of the Diocese of Liria Fatima, during a session of questions and answers which took place in the Aula Magna of the Technical University of Vienna, last September 10. Its content, he insisted, concerns only our faith. To identify the secret with catastrophic announcements or with a nuclear holocaust is to deform the meaning of the message. The loss of faith of a continent is worse than the annihilation of a nation, and it is true that faith is continually diminishing in Europe. The prelate made these declarations accompanied by his secretary and interpreter, Father Luis Condor, SVD. According to the latter, the Pope has serious reasons for not publishing the secret. When Father Condor was questioned to find out if Don Alberto had read the famous letter of Lucy, he answered no, but that he could base what he said on the study he had made of the Fatima message. From now on, thanks to these firm and limpid words, all the uncertainties, all the hesitations are finally dispelled. All the false secrets, completely fabricated by unscrupulous hoaxers, all the groundless hypotheses are finally unmasked, denounced by a responsible authority which no longer seeks to hide the truth. What is more, Bishop Du Amaral no longer discourages us, as in September 1981, from seeking to discover the essential contents of the third secret, on the pretext that nothing can be known about it since it has not yet been divulged. No, he himself speaks about it with assurance, basing what he said on the study he had made of the message. This is to recognize that such a study is possible, and that it can result in the discovery of the truth. So it is possible for us too to undertake this study, all the more since the Bishop of Liria Fatima's courageous declaration renders our task easier from now on. Indeed, we can be sure that Bishop Du Amaral did not break his 10-year silence on the third secret without receiving all the guarantees that the conclusions of his study conform to the truth on all points. We have seen that already, in 1981, he had consulted Sister Lucy to submit to her the texts of the false secrets spread by the press. It is morally certain that he would not have undertaken publicly to indicate, finally, the essential contents of the third secret, without obtaining beforehand the seer's consent. Note to the third edition, May 1986. As might have been foreseen, on a subject which continues to be so red hot. The statements made at Vienna on September 10, 1984, by Bishop Du Amaral in Father Condor's company, have recently been questioned. After an article in a little Belgian review, Mysterium Fide, number 72, p. 34, December 85, reporting these words, and moreover in a gravely inexact manner, without any reference to the Vienna conference, situating these words in February 1985. An editor of the German Catholic Review Der Fels asked for explanations from Father Condor and the Bishop of Liria. Since the subject has been rigorously forbidden in the Church since 1960, we must not forget that Cardinal Ratzinger himself, having spoken about the secret too freely in a declaration of November 1984, was obliged to retract in June 1985, see below pages 818-849. The Bishop of Liria was also obliged to discreetly backpedal, Letter of January 21, 1986, quoted by Der Fels of March 1986, p. 92. It remains, however, well established that Bishop du Amaral and Father Condor really said what Father Meches Dias Coelho reported in his review, Mensagem de Fatima of February 1985, quoted above, following Bote von Fatima of December 13, 1984, p. 131, and IDU, Informations Dienst zur Ehren der Unbefleckten Gottesmutter Maria, of September 20, 1984. None of these articles was the object of a denial. I am, besides, in a position to state that in the spring of 1985, before Cardinal Ratzinger's retraction, far from denying the information contained in Mensagem de Fatima, which was communicated to him, Father Condor was preparing to publish the integral text of Bishop du Amaral's conference with his answers to the questions that followed. But this text, finally, was not published. We can easily guess why, and under what pressure. We will furnish all the documents on this regrettable affair in our fourth volume, retracing the history of Fatima from 1960 to 1987. Meanwhile, one can check it in La Contrareforme Catholique XXe Siècle, May 1986, number 222, Maison Saint-Joseph, 10260 Saint-Pars-les-Vaud, France. Section 2, The Real Contents of the Third Secret.